we are opposed to things like abortion, but it's quite another to be a part of the solution and to pray and give before the Lord and ask Him, would you have us to foster or to adopt because we love life and we're willing to stand for that. So definitely, as Drew has already challenged us to give before the Lord, ask Him. Be obedient in how He leads and trust Him in that. Over the past several weeks, we have sought to answer a couple of questions. The first question that we've sought to answer is, what does it look like to be a faithful follower of Jesus? What does that look like? And we looked at Jesus' life and have seen that it's really come down to three main relationships in the life of Jesus. We see that no matter how busy it was, Jesus always made time to spend time with the Father. And so our life should look like that as well. We see that Jesus spent time with His disciples. They were connected together, and so we've talked about that and ways that we can do that. And then also we see that Jesus was spent time with those who were far from God. And so we've kind of boiled that down, at least to answering the question, well, how can we, if my life as a Jesus follower is to be like Jesus, then how can I grow in these relationships? And so we've come up with four things to help us grow in these relationships. And the first one is that we are to have God time. This is time set a time daily that we spend with God and that we worship Him and we follow Him. We spend time in His presence. As we talk about connecting with one another and growing in our relationship together, we came up with two ways to do that. Gather time, which is time spent weekly gathering and worship with my church. Group time, time spent consistently in community with a small group from my church. And then today we're going to talk about how can we grow in our relationship with people who are far from God, people who don't yet know Christ. And today we're going to discuss go time. If we were to take these four strategic ways and apply them to our lives, I believe that it would be a great starting place is that we would take these and consider it, as we've looked at, as a 5% life. The first one, if we were to take 1% of each day, approximately 15 minutes a day, to reserve, to plan, protect, to spend time with God, this would be a great starting place for us in our walk with the Lord. Now, many of you, if you spend time with the Lord, you'll realize 15 minutes goes by really, really quickly. And you'll come to find and enjoy this time and long for it, and that time will only grow. That you would take 1% of your week, roughly an hour and a half, and you'd be willing to gather together what we're doing right now, and that we need this time because we're encouraged, we're challenged as we worship together and worship the Lord. That we would take 1% of our month, roughly 7 hours in a month, and that we would spend consistent time with a small group of people, whether that's in discipleship or meeting as we do. Our small group times meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We have some that meet in the evenings and homes throughout the week. Whatever the case is, that you would consistently meet together, you'll grow in this area. And then what we're going to discuss today is go time. Roughly 2% of your year, about approximately 7 days, that you would be willing to set a time, set aside to be able to go and to be on mission for the sake of the gospel. Now, you've heard, as we have taken many trips over the past couple of years, even since I've been here, whether it's water well trips or trips, even just short trips into Tulsa, these are trips that you can, as a family or as an individual, be in obedient with the Lord and say, I would be willing to go for the sake of the gospel, the spread of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And so today we're going to kind of unpack this a little bit. Why would we do that? There's a lot of questions that are involved with that. It costs a lot of money. Where does that come from? Or I don't speak the language. How can I? So there's a lot of questions I know. Is it safe? Is one of the first questions that I've received. So what do we do with this? And so let's dive in today. But it is my belief that if we would be willing to spend 5% or look at this 5% and grow in these four ways, that the rest of the 95% of my life will be greatly challenged, will be greatly, enriched because of it. Because I'm consistently spending time with the Lord. I'm consistently being accountable, held accountable by my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm on mission with the Lord, so I'm experiencing His faithfulness and His hand to be used by Him. So in honor of the Word of God, if you would, stand with me as we read in Acts chapter 1. We will actually start in verse 3 today. Acts chapter 1. He presented himself alive to them. This is Jesus is talking about here. After his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Father, we bow before you. We are so thankful for your word. We are thankful for this challenge to our lives, a reminder, an encouragement that we are to be your witnesses. And so help us, Lord, not to be distracted. Help us not to make our mission something on this world, but instead, as you taught on your kingdom, help us to realize you have called us to be part of your kingdom and to enlarge that kingdom. And so, God, I pray that we would look to you, we'd be obedient to you, we'd trust you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here we see as Jesus has risen from the dead, he gathers with his disciples, and Jesus meets with them. He's with them some 40 days, helping them to see and to understand, teaching them many things. Later on here in chapter 1, we see that there's about 120 of them that had gathered. And he gave them this great encouragement. You see, they came and had a question. Is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? In other words, are you going to sit upon the throne? Are you going to do the things in which have been promised? And Jesus answered them and he says, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons of the Father." And now listen, we are encouraged elsewhere that we are to be watchful, that we are to look for his return. And even what's such great encouragement as they're seeing him ascend, that two appeared and said he's going to return in the same way. And so we are to look for his return. But I think that sometimes we can even get distracted diving in and trying to figure out when it is or all of those things. As much as we're to be watchful and discerning, to me it almost here points to don't be distracted. But the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to have a mission. You're going to have a job. Trust the Spirit in you. You're going to be my witnesses. Now, up until just recently, I'd never been a witness as far as like in a trial. But in the past month and a half or so, I've had to do it twice. And so I sat, and I don't know if you've ever been one before, but they bring you in, and in this case, it was a huge courtroom, a whole jury, and they bring me up before the judge and the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney, and they begin to ask me questions. Now, my job as a witness is not to convince them one way or another. I'm not to try to point the trial in any such way, but my job as a witness is to only share about what I've seen, heard, and experienced. Amen? And so, as stressful as it was, I made it through the prosecuting attorney. Then comes the defense attorney who cross-examines. This means that they're going to scold you all that they can, is what their job is. But as I do that, I kept standing on, as much as they tried to put words in my mouth, I would redirect or point back and make sure that they knew. And I stood upon what I witnessed, what I experienced, what I heard, right? In the same way, here, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. So it is not, there is no question at all whether or not you're a witness. You are a witness. If you have given your life to the Lord, if you have received the Holy Spirit into your life, you are a witness. Now, if you haven't, then you don't have anything to be a witness of. But these people, these 120, had seen Jesus risen from the dead. They were his witnesses. They had seen and heard his teaching. They have been in his presence. And so for him, or for these 120, they now could point to what they had seen. I had seen that he had risen from the dead. Great, powerful witness. And so now that we've received the Holy Spirit, what is our witness? What are we to be witnesses of? In the same way, we are to be witnesses of the risen Jesus. And we know that he's risen because of what he's done in our lives, because the Holy Spirit has came. Remember that Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father, because then the Counselor will come, the Holy Spirit will come. So if the Holy Spirit has entered our life, as Walker said just a few weeks ago when he was here, a pastor came and told us that there would be this Kairos moment in our life, this moment in time that would shape and transform everything about our lives, this moment that we met Jesus, right? That is what we're to be witnesses of, to share. And so the question is not whether we are witness or not. The question is, are you an effective one? Are you a good one? Are you a good witness or are you a bad witness? Two things I want to point out here, two responsibilities that I believe, having received the Holy Spirit, that we have according to this passage. The first one is, we have a responsibility to share the story of Jesus, to share about what Jesus has done. Now, you know that there is, and it's kind of sad in a way, tomorrow and the next day, there was scheduled a statewide amongst Oklahoma Baptists, is that there would be an evangelism conference. They actually call it the Advance Conference now. And it's a conference to where it gathers the people of Oklahoma, pastors, and anyone else that wants to come. And they have a whole conference about why it's important to share the gospel. Now, that is sad to me that we have to have that kind of conference. You mean we have to come together and have these pastors come on the stage and tell us that we need to be out there sharing what we say is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us? What we would say has transformed our life. Like, we need someone to encourage us to say that, to tell people that story. I mean, we eat a good steak dinner. We're telling everyone about it, right? Man, have you eaten here? Best steak I've ever had in my life. Or, have you seen this movie? Man, you need to. But when it comes to sharing about what we would say is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us, it's like we need someone to encourage us to do that. Man, how sad is that, right? I had a friend who served in Nepal for 6 months, and he's getting ready to leave, and he had forgotten that one of the guys that he had known the longest, he had traveled around, so he's away from him for a time, but as he's getting ready to leave, he realized, he goes, man, I forgot to share the gospel with my friend. And so he runs to his house and he says, hey, I'm getting ready to leave tomorrow to head back to the States. And he says, man, I forgot to share with you of what is the most important thing in my life. And the guy looked at him and he says, it's not the most important thing in your life. And he says, well, why would you say that? And he says, because that would have been the first thing you shared with me. Huh, completely convicted the heart of this missionary who had went to Nepal for the sake of sharing the gospel. We have a responsibility to share the story of Jesus. And you would say, how? Now, we have the gospel. We see where multiple times where the gospel is shared by the disciples or writers of the Bible. But Paul, one of the ways that Paul would share about Christ and the story of Jesus is he shared his own story. And he did it in such a way that is an easy one for us to do. And he shared about who he was before he met Christ, how he met Christ, and then now since what's his life is like since he met Christ. We see him do that in several of his letters. And just a couple of things when sharing your story or sharing what Christ has done or how you met him, a couple of things to think about. The first one is make it personal. Like, this is your story. This is what Christ has done to you. Don't be preachy. You're not preaching to the person. You're just sharing about what's happened in your life. Make it short. Now, don't get excited, okay? I know. I'm a pastor. I am preaching today, okay? So, but when you're doing it, it is, you're sharing about, I mean, like, you want to make sure you, sometimes it's in passing or sitting at a restaurant or something. So you want to make it short, 3 to 5 minutes. Keep Jesus at the center. Jesus is what has changed your life. It's not anything that you've done. You didn't earn anything. And so keep it centered upon him. And then a great thing to do is to always point to Scripture. Scripture pierces the heart. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in the lives of people. Now, just to kind of share with you my story. It can be easily shared in 3 to 5 minutes. Growing up, I was not raised in church. I had many questions. Actually, the only church I'd really remember going to when I was young was the Catholic church here in town. I went with my granny, and we would go mainly holidays, but sometimes when we were visiting, we'd go with her. I was very sneaky as a kid. I was quiet, and so people probably thought I was a pretty good kid. I didn't get any major, but man, I was sneaky, and I lied, and I really was good at it. I would lie for pointless reasons, but I'd lie, and I would get away with it, and so I just continued to do it, but I was sneaky. Man, things I still tell my mom about as they come to my mind, I know she's amazed, but my parents divorced when I was young. I ended up living with my dad. We moved around a decent amount, and I ended up in Jinx. And I remember I was fairly new there, but I remember going to school early one day, and I looked in a room, and I saw someone I knew. So I asked him about it, and he said, it's a Bible study. And he invited me to go. Now, there was enough that happened in my life, and things are going on. I was very curious. I really was curious about the things of God. I didn't know much, but I decided to go. I saw something in these peers, these friends of mine, that was different than I'd ever experienced. There was a genuineness and a love that they showed me immediately. They told me things like, you know, in Jesus we can have abundant life, or we can have joy and peace, and all I knew was I wanted that. The things that I had run after, popularity or sports, none of that satisfied. And so one day I remember they had shared about God's love for me. Oh, all I knew was that I was a sinner. That was pretty easy for me to see. But then to hear about his love, and not only just his love, but the way that he showed his love by sending Jesus. You see, I deserved death. They had shared that truth with me, that the wages of sin is death. And so I knew that I deserved it. But then to think that someone would come and pay that price for me, I was overwhelmed. And I believe that the Holy Spirit had come and was showing me my need for a Savior. And so just like Romans 10:9 says, in that moment I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believed in my heart that God had raised him from the dead. I was saved. My life was transformed. Since then, God has led me on this journey, this peace and this hope that they had talked about, I have received and have experienced this closeness of God and being able to talk to him or be led by him has led me all over the world. Africa, Asia, South America. I mean, I've been able to go and see God not only at work in my life, but in the lives of literally hundreds of people. And I've seen him transform the roughest of sinners. And I just want you to know that we have a God who loves us. He loves each one of us. And you can know him too. You can have a peace that surpasses understanding and the joy of life and your life be transformed. You see, all of us can share our story, who we were before Christ, how we come to know Christ, and what our life has been since. And I want to tell you that that story, the story of Jesus, is powerful. Amen? Why would we not share about who Jesus is or the hope that others can have in him? And so here in Acts, this is what he says, "But you will receive power." Now, I don't know about you, but as a shy kid, I struggled with the thought of standing in front of anybody. But let me tell you about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit would put me in front of people when I would have adults come and ask me to speak to their kid. I remember I had just graduated high school. I was getting ready to go to college, and I had the Sunday school director of our church come and ask me, having only been a Christian for a couple of years, to teach an adult Sunday school class. Ha! I just want to tell you, we have a Holy Spirit that will come and will bring power to our lives. Don't shortchange the Holy Spirit. We walked through Acts and talked about that Acts was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Acts is still being written through the lives of each one of us as the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And so we must trust that as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are his witnesses. And it's a powerful witness. It's a confident witness. Not in ourselves. Listen, we're weak. But in the power of God. And I just want to say, in sharing the story of Jesus, the results are left up to him. It brings me to the second thing I want us to see, and then we'll be done, and that is we have a responsibility to share Jesus cross-culturally. In other words, we're to share it in other cultures, and it doesn't necessarily mean just overseas or internationally. We have other cultures here even in Skytook. We have other cultures in Tulsa. The youth went and served with mobile missions in North Tulsa. And I just want to tell you, there are other cultures right here 20 minutes from us. And we're to share cross-culturally. We know that because of verse 8. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which for them was home. So for us, this would be, we're to be his witnesses here in Skytook. Judea is kind of like their county. It included Jerusalem, so it would be like here Osage County or within, you know, an hour of us or here close by. And then we're to be his witnesses. Here it says in Samaria. That to them was an enemy of them, of the Jews. So not only a different culture, but a culture they didn't even like. A culture that if they had were going on a journey, they would even go around because they didn't like the people. But you see, God loves all people. And if they matter to God, shouldn't they matter to me? I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what a different culture has done to you. I want to tell you, we have a God who loves all people, all tongues, all tribes, all nations. And even as a church, one of the things I'm so excited about that the church has done, we have set a substantial amount of money, $100,000 aside, that we are specifically designated to unreached people groups or to church planting. What's exciting about that is we have no idea what that's even going to look like yet. But we're on this adventure and we're saying, God, we believe that you have and love the people at the ends of the earth. And we know that because he tells us even here. And Samaria and to the end of the earth. That there are people who have never heard the name of Jesus, have no access, or maybe even know somebody who has heard the name of Jesus. And they matter to God. And so, I want you to see that it's not Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the ends of the earth. It's and. Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And so for you and I, that means our responsibility is to share Jesus to the ends of the earth, cross-culturally. And so how will we do that? The first thing is it must be intentional. Meaning that these things don't happen by accident. We must be intentional with sharing the gospel. And so I want to challenge you to think about how you can be intentional in sharing Jesus. It may be with a neighbor, a friend. The challenge has been that you would be willing to set a week of your year aside for the sake of sharing Jesus. And, you know, there are many options. There is a trip to Suriname. I'm actually leaving here in about 11 days. That's really quick. So I had a guy call me yesterday, though, and he's trying to go on the trip. So it's still possible. I'm not going to say no. If you believe God is leading you to go, then come on, right? I know this is kind of changes our thinking a little bit, but Vacation Bible School. If you view this as a mission trip that each day you could come with the mindset of, I am going to share Jesus with the people in my own community. I told you this last week. This is what Lindsay and our family is doing, is we're going to see our spring break as a mission trip, and we're going to share the gospel. We're going to come to Vacation Bible School, and we're going to utilize this time to be able to proclaim the gospel. Maybe you would be led to do the same. In Guatemala, there's a water well trip in April, and if you would be interested at all, even if it's just, hey, I'd like some more information about that, Charlie is going to be, right after the service, he's going to come up to the front right up here and answer some questions. Charlie is leading this trip to Guatemala for a week. They're going to dig a water well. Great opportunities for both men and women to be able to share the gospel, teach hygiene, and be able to go into the school in the community. Man, such a great trip. If that's something you'd be interested in. We work with church plants. We have a couple of church plants in Colorado. If you're like, hey, I would like to take my family or go on a mission trip but want to stay here nationally, that's an option. Or, as I mentioned, the youth work partnered with Mobile Missions. It's right here in Tulsa. They go into Tulsa, Sepulpa, kind of on the west side there, and go into apartment complexes and just love on kids and families. Such a great way to be challenged and encouraged. We will continue to be taking trips. Scott mentioned during the time of announcements, we have the Unreached People Groups Conference. Man, I don't know if you got to come to the first one. If you didn't, I just want to tell you, I was so challenged and encouraged by stories of what God is doing all over the world. And this next part two is going to be on the practical side. How do we identify a people group and then begin to make a difference in that people group? Man, I hope you plan to come. It'll be at the end of February, the last Sunday in February, and highly looking forward to that. My point is this. If we make church and our walk with Jesus all just about this, then there is a whole world of people all outside these walls that are bound for a real place called hell. And unless you and I take ownership of that and responsibility for the sake of the gospel, they will stay that way. It is time that you and I are intentional. Not only intentional, but we can be relational. There are ways in which some of you, through your jobs or through your family, are already connected to people who are from different cultures. Utilize those. If your company has contacts in a different state or a different country, why not volunteer to go there for the sake of the gospel? Man, staying with your company or getting to know if there are people of different nationalities that work with you alongside of you, why not invite them over for dinner? Get to know them and love on them. What I'm saying is that if we're not intentional, then what happens is we will miss out on seeing God utilize you and your story and his gospel to transform the lives of people all around us. And so, as we get ready to worship, let us get before the Lord and ask him how he would lead us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We are so thankful for this calling that you have placed on our life. We thank you for changing us, transforming us. And I pray, Father, that we would tell others about what you have done. Lord, I pray that we would take on this mission to be willing to make go time a priority in our lives, that we'd be willing to go. And so right now, as we bow before you, are you leading me to go? Maybe right now you would even ask God that. Be so bold as to ask, God, where would you lead me to go? Is there a friend or family, coworker that he's placed upon your heart? Maybe you'd begin to be intentional just to love on them, begin to reach out and build that relationship with them. Father, we need you. We are weak without you. Help us to trust you. Lead and guide us, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.